to talk to you this morning about wrecking the devil's plan. Wrecking the devil's plan. Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 12. I'm going to start with verse 1 and read through verse 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, and I really want to emphasize that, this is something very important, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in the prison and delivered him to four quarantines of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in the prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keeper before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, Arise, up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment upon thee, and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and knew not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together, praying. If we know the background behind this story that we just read in Acts chapter 12, we would know that King Herod is in a real fix. He's in a real jam. You see, at this time in the nation of Judea, there is a famine over all the land. And in fact, this famine is prophesied about in Acts chapter 11. Look with me at Acts chapter 11, verse 27. It says, In these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, signified by the Spirit, that there should be a great dearth, a great famine throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. So we see in Acts chapter 11, there's a famine over all the earth that's prophesied about. And then in Acts chapter 12, we are actually in the famine. And so King Herod, like so many rulers in the earth, he's in a real fix. He's in a real jam. And what I mean by that, brothers and sisters, is nothing brings about insurrection and revolution like a famine. When people are starving, people become desperate and people revolt. So at this time, King Herod would do anything to appease the Jews. At this time, he would do anything to try to keep the Jews happy. And so when he sees that executing James with the sword pleases the Jews, then he takes Peter also with the intention of executing Peter too. Now, brothers and sisters, I really want to bring this point out very powerfully. I want to bring it out strongly because it's something that we need to really understand. It was King Herod's intention to execute Peter. There's absolutely no room for any doubt about it. It was King Herod's intent to kill Peter. The Bible says in Acts chapter 12 that after Easter, and that word Easter actually means Passover, after the Passover, it was King Herod's intent to bring Peter out to the people and execute Peter. But brothers and sisters, listen, something happens to foul up his plans. Something throws a wrench into his plans, into his intent. What was it? It was the power of a praying church. It was the power of a praying church that wrecked his plans. I want you to look with me at verse 3. Chapter 12, verse 3. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in the prison, delivered him to four quarantines of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So brothers and sisters, Herod's plans were fouled up by the power of a praying church. Wrecked by the power of a praying church. Now this is the direction I really believe the Lord would have us go in this morning. Listen, Satan has so many plans for people's lives right here in our community, right here in our town. Jesus in the scriptures was very, very careful and very clear to define the nature of the enemy. In John chapter 10, verse 10, he said he's the thief that comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. In John 8, 44, Jesus said that he was a murderer from the beginning. I'm reminded in the Gospels when a father brought his demon-possessed son to Jesus and said, Jesus, Lord, oftentimes he throws my son into the fire and into the water. Beloved, fire and water represent two different extremes because fire and water doesn't mix. So we see that the enemy is the master of extremes. Listen, if he cannot destroy your life through gross sin and addiction and bondage, then he will destroy your life through self-righteousness and religiosity. He's the master of extremes when it comes to destroying lives. So in the scriptures, Jesus is very careful to reveal the nature of the enemy. And brothers and sisters, if we really had eyes to see, we would see that the enemy's very diligent about his business right here where we live. If we really had eyes to see, we would see divorce. We would see alcoholism. We would see teenage pregnancy. We would see dark, dark depression and despair. And we know where that goes. Beloved, if we were to look into the privacy of so many people's homes, we would be shocked by the sin. We would be shocked by the bondage. We would be shocked by the depravity and the darkness. We would be shocked by the devastation that is in so many people's lives and homes right here where we live. But this is what the Lord has put in my heart. If as a church, if we would be faithful to pray, if we would be faithful to come together and meet in prayer meetings, be faithful to come to the house of the Lord and pray together. I'm emphasizing that. If we would be faithful to pray, we would wreck so many of the devil's plans. Our prayers will reach in the homes. Our prayers will reach in the hearts. And the light of the glorious gospel will shine in the places of darkness. Oftentimes the Lord comes to my heart and he just puts a prayer on my heart, and that prayer is simply this: Holy Spirit, would you go into the bars? Holy Spirit, would you go into the casino? Holy Spirit, would you go into the broken homes where single moms have nowhere to turn from help? And Holy Spirit, would you draw them to the Lord? Would you begin to graciously begin to draw their mind to think about Christ? Would you begin to draw their heart toward the Lord? There are times when I walk into the post office. There are times when I walk into the store and I see someone I've never seen before, or I've seen someone I don't know, and the Holy Spirit will whisper to my heart and say, Tim, that's somebody you've been praying for. Though you don't know them, that's somebody you've been praying for. If we would just be faithful to pray, we would wreck so much of the devil's plans. I want you to look with me at verse 6. Verse 6 says, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And I want to emphasize that last part. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. In my studies, I found out that the purpose of the keepers of the door weren't to keep people from coming out of the prison. They were there to keep people from going into the prison. But I really like what I heard Pastor Carter Collins say one time. Trying to keep God out of somewhere is like trying to keep air out of a room. It's absolutely impossible. And beloved, what I'm simply saying is this. When we are faithful to pray, to pray for our town, to pray for our community. Listen, the Spirit of God will go into places of darkness. He will go into places of captivity, and He will begin to speak to people. Listen, nothing can shut out the presence of God when we are faithful to pray. Amen. Now let me just move on in my message and talk a minute about divine appointments. I believe the Lord would really have me talk about that. Let me say that I believe in church outreaches. I believe church outreaches are powerful. I believe the Lord right here in this church is going to establish some very powerful church outreaches. But beloved, let me say this. I have found that I am most effective when God simply sets me up with divine appointments. When God orchestrates a meeting with people that He has been drawing. Beloved, you see it all in the Scriptures. I believe in divine appointments because you see it all in the Scriptures. Listen, you see it with Jesus and the woman at the well. You see it with Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. You see it with Peter and Lydia at the river. Powerful encounters that God orchestrated there. I believe with all my heart in divine appointments. And I believe with all my heart as a church we should be praying for divine appointments. I believe that with all my heart. We should be praying for divine appointments. And listen, everybody hear me. Hear me. We should be praying for divine appointments, and then we should expect them to happen by being watchful. By being watchful. And recognizing when they happen. I believe with all my heart, listen, as a church, when you really begin to pray for divine appointments with people that God has been speaking to, that is a prayer God will answer all the time because He's speaking to people. I know in my heart that is a prayer God will answer all the time, but we as a people have to be awake, have to be alert, and have to be watchful when they happen because we can miss them. If we're not watchful, then we will miss Zacchaeus in the tree. And if we're not watchful, we will miss the beggar by the roadside because we're so caught up with the crowd, the congregation of the church. I believe that is a prayer God will answer. But we have to be watchful and recognize when it happens. I want you to look with me at Acts chapter 8. I'm going to start with verse 26. Verse 26 said, "And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all their treasures, had come to Jerusalem for the worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understand thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was, He was led of a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Let me ask you a question here. What just happened here? What just happened here? Let me tell you what just happened here. John 5:17, all over again. Jesus said, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. In other words, this is what Jesus was saying. My Father goes before me, preparing hearts before I even get there. Preparing hearts before I even get there. And then when I get there, I simply enter into what He's already been doing. I simply give them the word that He's already been preparing their heart to hear. And in Acts chapter 8, that's exactly what we find. God has already gone before Philip. He's already working in this man's heart. And now He's bringing Philip into the work. Beloved, that's ministry. Ministry is simply having eyes to see where God is already at work in people's lives and then hearing the call to join Him. That's ministry. And I believe with all my heart as a church, if we will just be faithful, God, you're already working in people's hearts. You're already drawing people's hearts. There's already a Zacchaeus in the tree somewhere who you put a yearning in their heart to see God. Lord, give me eyes to see. I believe that is a prayer God will answer all the time because he's always working in people's hearts. I believe that with all my heart. But see, our part is we have to be watchful. We have to expect the Lord to answer that prayer, and we have to be watchful. And God will open our eyes to see. That's ministry. Amen. I want to end with this. I want you to go with me back to Acts chapter 12. Now everybody look at me. If you in tune your heart to anything, I've said this morning, in tune your heart to this. Don't miss this. The question is, okay, Pastor Tim, so ultimately, what is God calling our church to? What is he calling us to? It's right here. It's right here. And allow the Lord to minister this to your heart. Don't hear the voice of a man. Hear the voice of your Father. What is the Lord calling us to? Acts chapter 12. Let me get there. I'm in John 12. Verse 5. It says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. Mount Zion, Church of the Holy Spirit. Those two words, you need to underline them and you need to circle them because that is what God is calling this church to. Without ceasing. God is calling our church to pray for our town and our community without ceasing. God is calling our church to continually lift up the people that make up the world we live in continually. We should be a church that is diligent, without ceasing, continually praying for the people beyond the four walls of this church. Listen, if there is one person in our town outside the walls of this church, then everything is not all right. Everything is not all right. And we should be praying without ceasing. We should be faithful to prayers. We should be faithful to prayer meetings. To pray God's heart. And I believe the Lord is saying, if my people will hear my voice, not the voice of the preacher, hear my voice, and if you will be that church that will be faithful, I will wreck so many of the devil's plans. And people will be gloriously saved and transformed for my glory. Amen. Amen. I believe in the power of a praying church. Stand with me this morning.